Man, good morning, Spanish River. So glad to have you here with us. My name is Brian Herring, if we've not had the opportunity to meet, and I serve as one of the pastors here at the church. We find ourselves in the middle of a series entitled Life's Toughest Questions, and we've been discussing and looking at questions about belief, like how can we believe in the resurrection? How can we believe in the Bible? How can we believe in a God in the midst of such evil and suffering that we see in this world? And for some of you who are listening, these are things that you do believe in and that you cling to. And we want this series to be an opportunity to strengthen your faith and in your witness towards others. But there are some of you who are joining us who are much more skeptical. And you look at these and you hear me say these things and you're like, yeah, I do struggle with that. I don't believe that. And that's okay. And we're glad that you're here. We want you to be here. We want to have these discussions. In fact, the last week of this series, we want to give you the opportunity to give us a tough question to be able to tackle, to be able to discuss and talk about. You can do that by texting the word tough followed by your question to 474747. I promise we're not going to spam you, but what we want to do is we want to be able to interact with you. So again, tell us your tough questions. If Christianity is something that you struggle with, if there's a particular topic in faith that you're struggling with, let us know. We want to be able to interact with you. Today, though, we want to tackle the idea of the Bible. And we want to discuss the idea and talk through the idea of, man, how can we actually believe the Bible? And before we do that, I want us to jump in with a word of prayer. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, grateful for this morning and the time that we have together. Lord, I pray that you would meet us where we're at. Meet us in our belief, meet us in our doubt. Lord, that your spirit might speak to our souls. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So imagine with me for a second that you've just awakened from a deep sleep and you find yourself in this big concrete bunker. Now, in this bunker is about a dozen or so other people, and you have suffered from amnesia, so you have no reason why you're there. You have no idea why you're there, right? You wake up, you look around, and you don't know where you are. You don't know where you've come from. You don't know what you're supposed to do. You don't know where you're supposed to go, but you have this idea that you're supposed to go somewhere because as you look around, everybody has different provisions. Some have food, some have medicine, talents, abilities. And little by little, you start to ask these questions to yourself, like, man, what are we doing? And you start talking with other people as they wake up, and they're starting to have ideas and thoughts, and they're talking to you, and you're talking to them, all different opinions, suggestions, solutions, and preferences. And here's what happens. People start to have convictions about, man, this is where we need to go, or this is where we came from, or this is why we're here. And in a sense, that's our plight here. That's the situation we find ourselves in. We are on this planet, a group of 7+ billion people faced with questions that demand answers. And as you look around and you hear all of the different responses, it is a cafeteria. It is a buffet of answers. Who are we to believe and why? And I think many of us struggle when it comes to, well, can I believe the Bible? This book that claims to be truth, how can I believe that? I think we struggle with this book more so than many others because we live in a day and age where things that are newer tend to be more true. We live in a scientific age where the closer things are to the present, somehow those carry greater truth with them. And now look, I think that there are certain things that people understood far better 3,000 years ago, even 300 years ago, than we understand them today. But because we have our phones, because we have the internet, because we have scientific knowledge, there's this feeling, well, whatever's new carries greater weight and greater truth with it. And I understand that. And there's good reason for that. I mean, you look at the coronavirus and things that we know now, we didn't know 2 weeks ago. And things that we thought were true 2 weeks ago, we know today aren't true. But the problem is when that starts to seep into how we view life and how we view existence and how we view purpose and how we find security and comfort and peace, science can fail us and the internet can fail us. And there's truth that can be found in ancient wisdoms. I love the way C.S. Lewis puts this in his book, Mere Christianity. This is so true. He says this. He says, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was simply made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, if there's nothing on this earth that can satisfy what I desire, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. He continues, he says, it shows that earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing. So I want us to think back to that concrete bunker that I was talking about a moment ago. Christianity claims that the roadmap has been provided in order that we might find our way from where we are to where we ultimately want to be. And that's the human condition, right? All of us ultimately want to be somewhere else. There are discontentments in your life. There are frustrations in your life. There are regrets in your life. And the Bible is that. Yes, it's a roadmap, but it's also so much more than that. It tells us that we were made for something greater than simply life in some concrete bunker or just to coexist on this planet with 7 billion other people. It offers an explanation for not only the world that we live in, but the very one who created it and the very one who is desperate and desires for us to know him. It describes us, you and me, the very workings of our minds and our hearts, revealing the truth that lies within us and even some of those truths that aren't necessarily always so pleasant. And ultimately what it does is it points us to a goal. It points us to an end to satisfy the very deepest longings of our heart. This book does not claim that the road will be easy or that it will always be enjoyable, but what it does tell us is that it is truth and that it will have beauty along the way, that it will have joy, camaraderie, and an end that ultimately satisfies the deepest longings of our heart. So I want to open us up to a passage in the short amount of time that we have left. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is a letter written by somebody by the name of Paul. Paul was what we call an apostle. He wrote a number of letters. He was a pastor and a church planter, and he planted numerous churches throughout Asia Minor. And what he would do is he would write letters to these churches. And many of those letters we still have today, and they make up the bulk of what we call the New Testament in our Bible. Those are the end parts of the Bible. It's from Jesus up through the early church. Now, a handful of those letters that he wrote were not just to churches, but to individuals. And here he's writing to one of his students, to one of his followers, a young church planter named Timothy. And so we're going to pick up in Paul's letter, written a little over 2,000 years ago, to his student, to his follower, Timothy. And this is what he's going to tell him. And this is so important for us to hear today. So follow with me. It'll show up in the bottom of the screen. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, picking up in verse 14 and reading down through verse 17. This is the word of the Lord as recorded by the apostle Paul to his buddy, to his follower, to his disciple, Timothy. He says this, "But as for you, Timothy, listen to me, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings." That's the Bible. He's telling him, look, remember this, Timothy. Remember what you have learned from the very beginning, acquainted with these sacred writings. Now, for Timothy, that would have made up what we would call today the Old Testament. That's the Jewish scriptures. That's the Tanakh. Today, we have both the Old Testament and New Testament. But he's encouraging him, look, you've known this from the beginning. And Timothy, you're going to hear all these other false truths, just like we hear today. And he's telling him, remember what you've believed. He continues. He says, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So he's telling him, you need to continue to believe, Timothy, in these sacred writings. And why should he do that? Why should Timothy continue to believe in these sacred writings? The same reason why you and I should. He says it right there in verse 15. He says this, which are able to make you wise for salvation. That's the first thing I want to draw out for us, that they make us wise for salvation. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. That's the easiest way to define it, all right? I know in my head that the stovetop is hot. So wisdom is not putting my hand on the stovetop and burning my hand. That's acting in wisdom. For others of us, we know things about ourselves. Look, if you can't handle alcohol, wisdom is saying, look, I need to refrain and not drink. Whatever it is. And salvation is what we all long for. Salvation is the peace that eludes us. Salvation is the freedom from anxiety. It is the hope of something greater than ourselves. It is the human flourishing that we look towards. It's the place that we ultimately want to be. And Paul is telling Timothy, remember these sacred writings. Remember the Bible. Remember your scriptures, because they possess the wisdom, the knowledge to help you apply and find salvation. And this is a theme that is carried throughout all of Scripture. But so often in Scripture, it actually will use the words glory and truth. Glory and truth. Inside every single one of us, myself and you who are watching, you have been created, you have been hardwired for glory. And when you were created, when God made this world, our glory was connected to our Creator. But here's the problem, and here's where the good news ends, is that sin ripped that glory away. Sin divided us, cut us off from the source of glory, which was our Creator, which was our God, which was our source of security and identity and comfort and freedom. And death entered the world when we were cut off from God. It was a consequence of our sin. But as another consequence of that is now we still desire that glory that we had from our Creator. And so what do? We seek for that glory in other things. We seek for identity. We seek for freedom. We seek purpose in things that ultimately can't satisfy the longings of our soul. The job that you have, as great as it is, will never satisfy the longings of your soul. As wonderful as your children are, they will not satisfy the longings of your soul. As great as that relationship is, or as the house, or whatever it is, we seek these glories, desperate for what was lost when sin entered the world. But it's not just that we're seeking after glory, we're also seeking after truth. Look, everybody wants to know what's true. We are desperate to know what's true. But it's not just that we want to know truth. We want to be assured that what we believe is actually true. And we want to know that the assurance that what we actually think is right and is true and where it comes from is true. And when we were made in God's image, when we were connected with our Creator, we knew the source of truth. We were a part of His glory. And we knew what He said was true. But when sin entered the world, again, we were cut off from our Creator. We were cut off from God. And what we did instead when we lost the source of truth was we created our own. We are constantly looking and grabbing after truth from wherever we can find it. And you know that this is true. Just watch the evening news. Watch how people clamor to politicians for truth. What they say must be true. I have to believe this. We look to our doctors right now in the midst of this pandemic and we say, that must be true. I have to cling to this. Only to find out 2 weeks later it wasn't. Or only to find out that politician or that celebrity or whatever that fad was faded away and wasn't true. And we constantly grip these things that we are desperate to know are true. And sin has divided us and death has separated us from the ultimate source of truth and the true source of glory that we crave and that every day you and I are clamoring for. Human beings can be incredibly complex creatures. Yes, we are. But at the core of who we are, we all exist with a predisposition for glory and for truth. Like Paul talking to Timothy, he says, the scriptures are here, that you can know truth and glory, that they can make you wise for salvation. But how do we know? How do we know that this truth is the truth? Paul continues and he says this. He says, all of Scripture is God-breathed, Timothy, in verse 16. It's breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man and the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Paul tells Timothy, yes, this is God's word himself. I think one of the greatest revelations about the Bible and that what it reveals about God is that our God is a talker, man. He could have remained silent. He could have said, you know what? They can figure it out on their own. But he didn't. He talked, and he talked a lot. Your Bible is tangible evidence that the maker of the universe, the creator himself, is also a communicator. He initiates, he reveals, he speaks. And he is telling you, he is training you. These are things in the Bible that I want you to believe because they lead to human flourishing. Look how he finishes, that we may be equipped for every good work, that we can be complete. When I was a teacher, one of the first things I learned was that basically, look, you have to establish your classroom rules and procedures the very first week of school. When seventh graders come pouring into that room, they need to be instructed and taught, this is how this classroom works. And you know why? Because there's safety and security for a seventh grade boy or girl when they come into my classroom and they know this is what Mr. Herring expects. This is where he is consistent. He's not all over the map. He's not some days he's really angry. Some days he lets us get away with everything. Some days he punishes us. Some days he doesn't. But she said, you need to establish, Peg Gray, my middle school principal, said, you need to establish your procedures and you need to consistently stick with them. We used to joke, don't let them see you smile till Thanksgiving. But once they understand, man, this is a safe place. There's consistency here. There's rules here. And here, this is what we're seeing. Paul is saying, look, the scriptures are for your safety, for your security. God knows you. He knows what you need. This is for your training that you can be complete and equipped for every good work. But how do we know? We know because it speaks to the soul that sits within us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the author says this about God speaking to us through the Bible. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. How do we know that the truth? How can we believe the Bible? Because it speaks to our very soul and it calls us out when we need to be called out. I'm sure that you have been in a conversation with a good friend who has pointed out to you an inconsistency in your argument, or who has cut you to the core and has revealed something about you that you knew, but maybe you had forgotten or you were blind to, and it hits you in the face. And instead of being angry or instead of being defensive, you're remorseful and you're like, you're right, I'm sorry. I am too angry in this moment. I am judgmental towards that other person when I shouldn't be. I do this too much. And it cuts you to the core. And the word of God does that like nothing else, because it's not just a book of words, but it's a conversation of God himself speaking to us. And the Holy Spirit reveals himself to us when we begin to investigate and dive into it. But that's the biggest part of all of this. In all of this, so many of us, we just look at the Bible and we say, I've heard about it, or I've read about it in blogs, and I don't need to. But we're called to investigate it, and we're called to read it, and we're called to know that it's true and let it reach our soul. And how do we do that? All of this hinges on one thing. All of the belief in the Bible, all of its truth, all of its glory is found in one thing, which Paul puts right in the middle here for Timothy. He says, yes, yes, these scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through what? Through faith in Christ Jesus. To really know if we can believe the Bible, all of it is contingent on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Sally Lloyd-Jones wrote a children's Bible that I've read to my children. And while it's a children's Bible, I think it is perfect for every adult to read as well. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. And in it, it says this: the Bible isn't just a book of rules. It's not just a book of heroes. No, she says, the Bible is most of all a story. And at the center of that story is Jesus. And every single story in the Bible whispers his name. From Noah to Moses to the great King David, everyone points to Jesus, the one upon whom everything would depend. We are called to discover for ourselves the one who is at the center of God's great story, at the center of our own stories too. No, the beauty and the belief of the Bible is centered solely on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. From the very beginning of the scriptures in the Bible to the very end, all of it whispers the name of Jesus. And when we sit down and we begin to read through the life of Jesus, and we come to grips and reality of our failings, when we come to the reality and the realization of our sin and our rebellions against God, where we have chased after false glories, where we have looked for identity, where we have looked for purpose, where we have looked and sought after glory of things that are not God Himself, where we have listened to the truths of others that has been folly and has been false. God calls that sin, and it is punishable by death, and it has brought despair and destruction on our souls. But the good news of the gospel is this, and the reason why I cling and believe every word in the Bible is this, is that God did not leave us to false glories. He did not leave us to false truth. He did not abandon us in our sin, but He entered into it. In John chapter 1, verse 14, John was a follower of Jesus. He wrote us a book that chronicles and gives us an account of the life of Jesus. He says this in chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word," that's God Himself, "and the Word," that's Jesus, "became flesh and dwelt among us." God became man and dwelt among us. And we have seen what? We have seen His glory. That thing which we are so desperately seeking after. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of what? Full of grace and full of truth. Glory that shines through all of the scriptures, but most brightly in the gospel of the Son of God, crucified for the sake of sinners. Jesus found His glory in God the Father alone. Jesus knew the true truth. He never sinned. He never turned His back on God, unlike you and I. And in obedience and willingness, He sacrificed His own life on the cross, taking death on Himself for us. And then 3 days later, rising to new life, conquering death, not just sin, but death as well. Awaiting and offering to us the gift of not just life eternal, but purpose, but glory, but truth, but hope, the peace that our souls long for. Life is far too short. It's filled with too many important questions to fail to take seriously this remarkable thing which has occurred on the stage of human history. That which is recorded for us in the Word of God, which we call the Bible. And can we believe it? Well, Paul tells Timothy it's through faith in Christ alone. And where is your faith this evening? Where is your faith this morning? I'm sorry. Where is your faith this morning? Is your faith in false glories that you still cling to and hope will offer you what your soul requires or demands? Will you cling to these truths that are coming from everywhere else? Or will you place your faith in the work of Jesus Christ? In Romans chapter 10, it says, "All we need to do is call on the name of the Lord and we will be saved." And look, I'm almost done here. Do I expect to convince you that everything in the Bible is true in a 20-minute message? No. But I don't believe that you have to believe 100% of it right now to believe that you need a Savior and for you to believe that you need Jesus. And for you to believe and know that there is sin in your heart and that there is a life that is being offered to you that has hope and freedom and a relationship with your Creator that was lost because of it. And so I want to challenge you and I want to call you to an acceptance, to a faith in Jesus as your Savior. If you're willing to do that, will you pray with me right now? We're going to close out. We're going to thank God for His word. And we're just going to call on Him and ask Him to save us from our sin and to save our souls and make us one of His own. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your word. And Lord, we live in a day and age where it can be difficult to believe things that aren't new. But Lord, there is ancient wisdom, and there is truth, and there is glory in this book that connects us to our Creator, that connects us to you. Father, to those who have been seeking after false glories, to those who have been seeking after lies instead of your truth, Lord, Father, will you hear their cries to you? Lord, in their soul, as they reach out to you, will you acknowledge their sin? Will you cleanse them from it? And will you give them the gift of your Spirit? Call out to Jesus. Ask for his forgiveness. Ask for his hope. In Jesus' name, amen.